Okay, this morning, I think I've mentioned before that I love science. I'm a science buff. I'm a science fiction freak. I get into all that kind of stuff. And I love learning more about what's going on in the world. And I think that science and religion are two great tastes that taste great together to me. I think they go wonderful with each other. And recently I listened to a message. I think it's actually a whole seminar, but I only listened to the first message. By a guy named Ken Ham. Have you heard of him before? Australian guy, goes around talking about creation. And he talked about that very thing, how science and religion, well, at least they're supposed to go together. And I liked the message so much, I thought I'd share it with you, what I heard. So to start off with, let me ask you what you think the greatest Christian nation on the earth is. What nation is the greatest Christian nation? I'll give you a hint. They have the greatest number of churches, this nation does, the most Christian schools, the most Christian Bible colleges, Christian seminaries, Christian bookstores, Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian resources. Which nation has all this Christian stuff? The United States of America, the greatest Christian nation in the world, at least as far as the stuff we've got. We have more Christian resources and organizations than anywhere on the planet. By far, we have more. So, another question. With all these Christian organizations, with all our resources, with all the Christian stuff that we have surrounding us and have access to, free access to, do you think that America is becoming more Christian or less Christian? Less Christian. How could that be? We've got so much Christian stuff. How does it happen that we become less Christian when we're surrounded by Christianity? That's a weird question. It's kind of something that doesn't really make sense. You can kind of see it. It's already happened in Europe. If you look at England, you've seen this happen. America is heading down the road that England has already gone. England has, if you can't swing a dead cat in England without hitting the church. There are tons of churches in England. And as a matter of fact, some of those churches are older than this country. A lot of those churches are older than this country. Those churches have been around for a long, long time. And England is on the backside of a downhill slope away from Christianity. They've fallen. They've been on religious decline, and they are declined. And so what's happening? What's happening in America that has already happened in England? What is this trend to have so much Christian stuff and still to be declining in our Christianity? If you've heard of George Barna, the big Christian research organization that does research on Christian stuff, well, they ask students, kids and students in school, from church homes. So these are all students that come from Christian churched homes, and they ask them about their faith. And 70% of those students said that they planned to leave the faith when they were done with school and out of the home, that they didn't see any reason to stick around. 70% of students said that they didn't see any reason to stick to the faith. So let me tell you what I think is happening. And we'll start at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, down at verse 12, just a single verse to start us off this morning. And this is when, if you remember, Nicodemus snuck out in the night and came and met with Jesus, and Jesus was telling him about being born again, and Nicodemus was having a hard time understanding what it means to be born again and be born of the Spirit and that kind of things. And so Jesus says this to him in John 3:12. He says, "But if you don't even believe me when I tell you about things that happen here on earth," because he was using the process of natural birth to describe this, like an analogy for spiritual rebirth. And he said, if you don't even understand the things that happened here on earth, how can you possibly believe if I tell you what is going on in heaven? So that's just a clear question that we start off with today. So what is the Bible about? We look at the Bible. We've got a big book, and we look at the Bible, and we see a book of God's love. I've heard that before, that this is a love letter written to people from God. That's a good description. And it's also about spirituality. It talks about life. You've heard the basic instructions before leaving Earth. It's about our life and our spirituality and our morality. All the time, I talk lots up here about morality and living a good life, right? So we've got all that stuff out of the Bible. But have you ever thought about the Bible as a book of geology, a book of biology, a book of anthropology, astronomy, physics, chemistry? Do you think about the Bible as a book like that? Because a lot of people don't consider that kind of stuff in the Bible. They look at it and you see a religious book, spiritual stuff. For the most part, we look at the Bible, we read it, and we get religion. We get religion, salvation, morality, but the Bible is really a book of history. I mean, it's got the morality and stuff, but it's a book of history. I think it's the most accurate world history book that has ever been written. And because if it's not accurate, then we're in a lot of trouble. If the history in the Bible is not true, if the earthly things that are talked about in the Bible are not true, then how can the heavenly things, the spiritual things, and the moral things be true? If we can't trust the earthly stuff, how can we trust the spiritual stuff? Does that make sense? I'm going to hit on that point hard this morning. The Bible talks about all sorts of earthly things. It talks about geology, biology, astronomy, the world history that leads up to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've never paid attention to that, but it talks a lot about that stuff. And if we can't depend on the earthly information the Bible presents, the simple facts, then how can we depend on the information it presents about Jesus Christ? If we can't believe what it says about the world, how can we believe what it says about Jesus? Can you believe in Jesus if you can't believe in anything else in the book? Can you just pick out certain parts to believe and discard the rest? The spiritual and the moral truths in the Bible that we all like to talk about, are built around the earthly things of the Bible. And if the earthly things are not true, if the history of the Bible is not true, then why should the spiritual and the moral things be true? Does that make sense? Okay, so let's take a look at some of this earthly information. The Bible talks about geology. You might not have paid attention to that before, but there was a flood that covered the whole earth. That's geology, right? There was a flood that covered, the Bible says that at least, there was a flood that covered the entire planet up to, that covered even the highest peaks on the planet over 20 feet above the very highest peaks is what it says. Everything on the planet was covered with water. Can we trust that? Is there evidence of a global flood? Of a true global flood. Ken Ham says, if there was really a global flood, then you would expect to find billions of dead things laid down in rock layers, buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And what do we find? Billions of dead things laid down in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth, right? But a lot of people will tell you there's no evidence for a global flood in the world. They'll say there's no evidence that a flood ever covered the earth. It's impossible. We've looked all over the planet, and all we can find is billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. So the world looks at these billions of dead things buried in the rock layers, and they say the exact opposite of what the Bible says. There was no global flood. These things came from public education, commercial media, colleges, museums. There's plenty of people out there that are saying there was never such a thing as a complete global flood. Never happened. If they're right, if there was never a global flood, then what the Bible says about geology is wrong. If they're right, the Bible is wrong. Because the Bible says there was a global flood. It covered the entire earth. It's very clear about that. Natural history museums. You can go to natural history museums, and they'll talk, and sometimes in school, they'll talk about the myth of the global flood. It was a myth. It's been passed around because all the cultures in the world have stories about a global flood. And so they talk about it as a myth. If the museums are right, then this book is a myth. I don't know how many of you ever read the Iliad by Homer. It's a story about Helen of Troy and all those poems from Greek, ancient Greek poems that talk about the battle. They made a movie on it called Troy. It had Brad Pitt and Eric Bana. They look like really great sword fighters in the movie. But it's a bunch of poems that talk about this beautiful woman that got captured, and there's a war over her, and lots of people died, and just huge, amazing things. But nobody cares about whether it was really, I mean, it wasn't true. It's Greek poetry. It's a story. So it's a good story. It's a fun story to watch on TV or to read in a book. But basically, it's a myth. Nobody really cares whether or not it was true. It doesn't matter because it's just myth. Is that what the Bible is? That's what the world says. The Bible is nothing more than just a made-up story somebody wrote down. The Bible also talks about biology. God created all the different kinds of plants and animals, and they were all made to reproduce their own kind. That's biology, right? The world teaches evolution a la Charles Darwin, which is, it says that some kind of microscopic life came out of the early chemicals of the ocean somehow, and that those pieces of microscopic life developed into an animal, and from that animal changed into another animal, and that animal changed into another animal, and plants did the same thing, and over millions and millions of years until you have all the animals and all the plants. So instead of starting with all the kinds of the animals from the beginning, the world says that one animal changed into another over millions of years until we finally have all the animals. So there's two different stories here. So if what the world teaches is correct, then the Bible's biology is wrong. Right? Okay, so how about the anthropology in the Bible? The Bible teaches that we are all descendants of one man and one woman. We all came from Adam and Eve, and that the man was actually made out of the dust of the ground, and that the woman was made out of Adam's rib, that God cut open his side and made a woman and then sealed up his side again. And the Bible doesn't say that it's anything about man coming from an ape man or woman coming from an ape woman. And if the Bible is right, then there's only one race of people. We're all brothers and sisters, according to this. We're all related. And of course, we all know that the world teaches something different. The world says that there are different races of people that all have evolved differently from apes. And the world laughs at the idea that man might have been made out of dust or that woman was made out of his side. The world thinks that that's silly. And guess what? If what the world teaches through public education and media and museums and whatever, if what the world is teaching us is correct, then the Bible's anthropology is wrong. Then there's astronomy. The Bible talks about astronomy. It teaches that God made the earth. What day did he make the earth on? The very first, in the beginning, remember we read the in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Yeah. Yeah, he did. But on day one, he created the earth. What was it covered with? Do you remember that? It was covered with water. And then God made the sun and the moon and the stars on what day? It's tough to remember, huh? On day four, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. So he made the earth, waited a few days while he did other things, and then made the sun, the moon, and the stars. So earth and then the stars. And then that's astronomy. So what does the world teach? The world teaches the Big Bang Theory. Well, what does and a lot of Christian leaders have no problem with the Big Bang Theory. They say, well, God just made the Big Bang. God used the Big Bang to create. But the problem is that the Big Bang proposes that there was this massive explosion and then all this clouds of dust and stuff. The dust came together and formed the sun. So we had the sun, and then the earth came. So first there was sun, the stars, and then came the earth. So it's the opposite direction of what the Bible teaches, which says the earth came before the sun. So if the Big Bang Theory is correct, if what the world teaches about astronomy, no matter what the teachers and leaders and even pastors say about it, if what the world teaches is right, the Bible's astronomy is wrong. So think about this. The Bible's history, it's geology, it's biology, anthropology, astronomy, all these things, the history that sets the stage for the message of Jesus Christ. The whole Bible builds up and fills in the story of God's redemption of the planet. The whole Bible wraps up in this one kind of single thing. But if none of the simple earthly facts are true, then why should we have any confidence in what it says about Jesus? Because we believe Jesus was a real person in history, right? He was born, he died, he walked, he resurrected, he interacted with the real world. He's a real guy. That's what we teach. The spiritual and the moral things that are wrapped around that story have no real value if the rest of the Bible is completely false. If this is all just myth, and that's just plain logic. You can't have both. If one if, if one part is totally wrong, all the history and the earthly things that talk about a real historical man, if we can't trust the history, how can we trust the man that's based on the history? Christianity is not just a bunch of interesting stories, is it? Christianity is based on real history. And if the events that lead up to the birth and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ are wrong, then how can any of the information in this book save us? If the events are wrong, how can we depend on the other stuff? If we don't all go back to one man in history, if we aren't all descendants of Adam, you know, the genealogies in the Bible that you love to read at bedtime, all the begats, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, it's really great bedtime reading, right? If none of that is true, then what proof do we have that anywhere that Jesus fits into those begats somewhere, if we can't depend on that history? They're there for an important reason. All those genealogies that you like to skip over, they're there for an important reason. They're there to show that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped into history to be a descendant of the first man, Adam. He was called the last Adam, if you remember that. And he came here to die for all the other descendants of Adam. And that history goes all the way through the begats, all the way back to the first Adam, from Jesus Christ all the way back. You can read his mother's line and his father's line. You can read his stepfather's line, all the way back through history. And that same history also encompasses a lot of other science: geology, biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry. All that stuff is wrapped into this story. And the world says that all that's wrong. None of that's true. All that's just a myth. So if the church is fine, if we're okay with letting people believe that what the world teaches about those things is true, basically that the Bible is wrong, if the church is fine with letting people say the rest of the Bible is wrong, then why would they believe us when we say, but the spiritual stuff is true, the moral things, all those things that are based on the same history, that stuff's true? Why would they believe us if we can't defend the rest of the stuff in the Bible? See, this is not just a book on religion or salvation or morality. It's a history book. It's the history book of the universe. And if we really understand the Bible, then it should be foundational to our thinking in all of those areas. It's like putting on glasses. How many people wear glasses or contacts? When you put on your glasses or your contacts, you can clearly see what you're trying to read. Or if you're farsighted, now you can see the road signs. They're called corrective eyewear because when you put it on, it corrects what you see. Now you see accurately what the world is when you put on your glasses or contacts. You see the world the way it actually is. So the Bible should be like a set of glasses for Christians. When we look at the world, we should look through the scriptures at what the world really is like. We don't take the world's ideas and try to push them in to the Bible. If the Bible is truly the revelation of God who created all this stuff, if the revelation of God is clear concerning the history of the universe to give us the big picture of history, then the Bible should be like our glasses to understand the history, right? The Bible should be like our glasses to see the world as it truly is. Let's look at the planet. We've got plants and animals. We've got people from different cultures and different languages. We've got land formations. We've got dinosaur fossils. How did all these things get here from the past? We should be able to look at all this stuff and understand it through the Bible. If you weren't there for the creation and when the land was formed and when all these things happened, then you can't be sure, can you? I mean, we can't go back and test history. If none of us were there, then we have to get our information from someone who was there. And we know someone who was there, don't we? God has always been here, and he wrote down what happened for us. The one who did it put it down in a book, said, I was there, I wrote it down for you. And so this Bible is a big picture of the history and the biology, geology, anthropology, all that stuff, so that we can understand the world and know who we are and where we came from clearly. Why should we listen to people who weren't there tell us about where we came from and try to fit a lot of different opinions, because lots of people have lots of different opinions, and try to shove them into the Bible? We should be looking at the revelation of history from the one who was actually there, who's been around, and then we can understand things the way they truly are. The stuff that we find in the world today, we can comprehend better through the scriptures. We can look around and we should be able to explain why there's death and suffering. We should be able to explain why there's beauty, why there's ugliness, why there's plants and animals and fossils and layers of rock in the Grand Canyon. We should be able to understand why all these things exist because of what the Bible tells us. The Bible says that God created everything in 6 days. In 6 days, and God said everything was very good. There was no death or disease or suffering in the world. There were no hot dogs, because hot dogs are dead everything. And I know, I work security in a meat plant, and do you know what goes into a hot dog? There's nothing that doesn't go into a hot dog. So, anyway, everything in creation was very good. And then corruption entered, right? That's what the Bible tells us, that sin and death came into the world as a result of Adam's rebellion. That's where it got started. And by the way, death relates to geology. You know how? Because there are dead things in geology. There are billions of dead things in geology. And if death didn't come until after sin, and if fossils are dead things, which they are, then you can't have fossils before Adam. Right? It's just common sense. Then there was the flood of Noah's day. The flood during that part of history where whole lots of biology and geology and astronomy and anthropology was going on. All sorts of things were going on in the time of that flood, right? In fact, billions of living things died when the floodwaters came up. Billions of living things were buried in layers of mud that eventually dried and hardened into rock that made fossils all over the planet. So it just makes logical sense. And then there was a confusion in the Tower of Babel, if you remember that story. And God split up the gene pool by causing different people groups to move all over the planet and split them all up and distribute, which is why we have American Indians, Africans, Asians, Europeans, Aboriginal Australians, Eskimos, Pacific Islanders, all these different people groups. So all this kind of stuff, and it enables us to look at the world, the Bible does, and have an understanding of how events of the past brought about our present world, where all the things that we look at today came from. We can have a big picture of history and also some of the future as well. The Bible talks about the future. We can put on our biblical glasses and see that fossils are dead things formed in a flood, which affected the geology of the entire planet. We can see how the Tower of Babel is where different languages got started and people groups spread out. We can see that we all still belong to one race. That we're all the same exact race. It doesn't matter what color you are. We are one human race. There's no black race and white race and Asian race. We're one race. We came from one man and one woman. We have the same grandparents. It's exciting to be a Christian, I think, because we have the inside scoop on history. We have it written down for us. Don't you think that's cool? I think that's cool. We know that someone, the someone, was there when all this stuff happened and could write it down accurately. The evolutionists, on the other hand, all the people who don't believe in the Bible, they have to guess about history. I mean, they try to make educated guesses, but they still have to guess. So if we trust in the whole Bible, the religious stuff as well as the earthly stuff, and if all the information it presents is true, then we can trust what it tells us about Jesus Christ when he stepped into history and died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and that one day he'll return again to make all things new. If we can trust in the earthly stuff, then we can trust in the spiritual stuff true. But then there's the question that everybody likes to ask. And this is a fun question. What about the dinosaurs? How do you fit dinosaurs in the Bible? Well, the simple answer is you don't. What? Don't you believe in dinosaurs? Of course I believe in dinosaurs. But you don't try to push them into the Bible. You don't take evidence of the world that's been misconstrued and try to shove it into your belief. A lot of people in church tend to listen to the world's interpretation of the past. They listen to what people in the world say, and then they apply that to the evidence that they can see, because there's plenty of evidence around us, but they take the world's interpretation of that evidence and they try to fit it into the Bible. But if you understand the Bible, then you use the Bible to explain the evidence. Use the Bible to explain the dinosaurs. You start with the big picture that the Bible gives. And if the Bible is correct, then you use real science, biology, geology, etc., which uses the physical evidence that we have all around us. And when you look at that evidence, if the Bible is correct, then it should confirm what the Bible says about it. The evidence in the world, if the Bible is true, the evidence in the world should be able to confirm what the Bible says. Nobody can scientifically prove the past. You know, you can't go back in history to test things. But if the Bible is true, then the present evidence should confirm it. That's how we test things. It should be logical. It should make sense of the world. And that's exactly what it does. We can walk through this process together. When did God make T-Rex? When he made the animals, which was day what? When he made the animals, day six. God made all the animals on day six, all the land animals. So T-Rex was obviously a land animal, so God made T-Rex on day six, right alongside Adam and Eve. What? Dinosaurs lived with people? It's not what the world teaches. Of course they did. Well, how do you know that? Because God was there, and that's what he said. He said, I made the animals, and then I made people. He made the land animals and the people on the same day. And it says right in the very beginning of Genesis that he made them, and he said what they ate. Because a lot of people would say, well, wouldn't the dinosaurs eat Adam and Eve? Well, what did they eat? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29 says, and God said, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I was talking to Adam and Eve. And I have given all the grasses and other green plants to the animals and the birds for their food. And so it was. So Adam and Eve started out as vegetarians. They ate plants. You couldn't have people and animals eating each other because sin and death hadn't entered the world yet. So you couldn't kill things to eat them because there was no sin which brought death. But what about all the fossils? Well, how do you make a fossil? You have to have a catastrophe to make a fossil. Fossils don't just form on, you know, things die on the ground and they get eaten up by bugs and bacteria. They decay. In order to have fossils, you have to have a catastrophe, and mud has to cover everything really quickly so that it's preserved in either under a covering of mud or in super dry, like desert conditions, things like that. You have to have. And in order to have billions of dead things all over the planet, you've got to have a pretty big catastrophe. But dinosaurs didn't get in the ark, did they? Well, it says that in Genesis 6, right? It says that all the land animals except the dinosaurs got on the ark. Or does it? What does it say? It says in Genesis chapter 7, says Noah did exactly as the Lord had commanded him to. Remember, he gave him the command in chapter 6. And in 7 it says, he was 600 years old when the flood came, and he went aboard the boat to escape, he and his wife and his sons and their wives, and with them were all the various kinds of animals, those approved for eating and sacrifice and those that were not, along with all the birds and other small animals. They came into the boat in pairs, male and female, just as God commanded Noah. 1 week later, the flood came and covered the earth. And another earlier, it says, all the living animals that had breath in their nostrils. So everything that lived and breathed got on the ark. But was there room for all those dinosaurs? Well, the average size of a dinosaur was the size of a sheep. They weren't all massive, huge monsters. And even the huge ones started out small. You have little tiny baby dinosaurs and young dinosaurs that aren't that big. So then what happened? Well, a pair of every kind of animal got in the ark. Everything that didn't get in the ark died. They drowned. You find dead dinosaurs and other animals and even plants fossilized all over the world. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. And after the flood, everybody got off the ark, the animals stepped out, and they started to reproduce, and they migrated all over the planet. And since then, because of sin and death, a lot of animals have become extinct all over the world. That still happens today. Animals are becoming extinct. New animals are added to the endangered species list all the time and go extinct every day. The same thing happens today. And so most of the dinosaurs died off. You probably didn't see any dinosaurs on the way to church today. You do see a few, though. I'll bet all of you have seen modern-day dinosaurs, at least pictures of them. Seen crocodiles, turtles, things like that. Well, even the evolutionists will say that those things have been around since the dinosaurs. So there are some dinosaurs that survived. And that's how the Bible gives us a big picture of history. That's how you look at the Bible, and we should see our whole world through what the Creator has revealed to us. We should be able to understand it. And looking at the world today through our biblical glasses, we can use real science to confirm the Bible's history. There are a couple of interesting finds, because the Bible gives us a big history, and we should be able to understand it that way. And a couple of kind of there's plenty of evidence out there that confirms the Bible. These are two kind of interesting things that were secular scientists found in Montana. Maybe you read this story a couple years ago. They found T-Rex bones that they wrapped up and were going to ship back to their research site, but they were too big to fit into their helicopters to transport them, so they had to break the bones in order to fit them. Well, inside these dinosaur bones, they found red blood cells, tissue that had not turned to rock. And they said, wait a second, this doesn't make any sense. They haven't fossilized. It's supposed to be, what, like 65 million years that these have been sitting around, they haven't fossilized? How did this happen? They don't understand it. But it sure seems to fit what the Bible has to say. And all over the whole world, you find pictures of dinosaurs, petroglyphs in the rocks, carvings of dinosaurs, Ica stones, the Thunderbird drawings in South America, or in the southern part of the United States. And as a matter of fact, there were secular scientists that in the Natural Bridges Park in the United States that said there are pictures of things that have a striking resemblance to dinosaurs that were drawn by American Indians. But why couldn't it be a dinosaur? Because if you ask an evolutionist, why couldn't it be a dinosaur? Well, it's a mystery, because the Indians couldn't have seen dinosaurs because they were alive millions of years ago before people ever showed up. But the logical conclusion is if there's a drawing of dinosaurs, then what did they see to draw? Did they just make it up? So if we stop and we look at the Bible as our big picture of history, and then we look at the evidence around the world to confirm that, then it makes sense. We don't have to say, wait, this doesn't make any sense, because it really does make sense. And that's the way we should operate as Christians. That's why I think it's exciting to be a Christian, because so much of the evidence in the world, everything points to the correctness of the Bible. There's never been an archaeological find that has ever disproved the Bible. Most of them prove what the Bible says. But sadly, you find that most of the church doesn't seem to have any answers. They don't have any responses when the world says, well, what do you do with dinosaurs? Well, we don't do anything with dinosaurs. That's what the church usually says. We don't know what to do with the dinosaurs. And the world has lots of other questions. What about Cain's wife? What about carbon dating? What about the ape men? There's plenty of questions. And you know why people have these questions? Because the world has taught them a history that contradicts the Bible's history. They've been indoctrinated with this information. What they're really asking is, how can we believe anything in the Bible? Because we've been taught it's not true. So if you try to tell people that the Bible is true and tell them about Jesus and morality, but you can't answer simple history questions about the earthly stuff, and the people who have been educated by the world system and the media and who have been taught that you can't trust the Bible, they think, well, the church must have it wrong. And what does the church say? Well, don't worry about the history stuff. Don't worry about the geology and the, you know, just believe in the Jesus stuff. Just believe in the religious stuff. How many of you have been asked about Bible history when you've been talking to somebody about God? How many of you have been asked about evolution and creation and all that kind of stuff? It's no wonder the world doesn't regard the Bible the way they used to, because we don't teach children correctly anymore in church, in our Christian homes. We teach Bible stories. We talk about Jonah and the great fish, and the feeding of the 5,000, and the plagues of Egypt, and Noah's Ark, and Jesus on the cross. Well, what's wrong with telling stories? It's the way we teach them in today's era, the way that we present them. If you talk to the average Sunday school teacher, the average Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Brown, who's been teaching Sunday school for 140 years. And I'm very thankful. I praise the Lord for people who dedicate themselves to teach children, because that's an important thing. But if you talk to the average teacher and you ask Mrs. Brown, do you teach geology? Do you teach biology, astronomy, anthropology, physics, chemistry? What's Mrs. Brown going to say? No. Well, what do you teach? Oh, we teach Jesus. We teach the Bible. Oh, I see. Well, Mrs. Brown, where do the kids go to learn geology, biology, astronomy, physics, chemistry? Where do they learn all that stuff? What's the answer? School. Oh, so, okay, I see. We teach Bible stories at church once a week, and then they go to the state education system 5 days a week where they're told the Bible's not true. The Bible's geology is not true. The Bible's biology is not true. It's anthropology is not true. It's astronomy is not true. And why are they taught that? Because we've allowed Christianity to be thrown out of the public school system. The Bible is gone. Creation is gone. Prayer is gone. The Ten Commandments is gone. They didn't throw religion out of the Bible, out of school. They threw Christianity out of school. Now they're teaching generations of kids that you can explain everything in the world without God. They use the religion of naturalism and atheism, that you don't need God to get all this stuff. We didn't throw out religion. We replaced Christianity with a different religion in our schools. And we need to wake up to what's happening in our educational system. And mind you, I'm not saying that public school teachers are inherently evil. My wife is a public school teacher. I'm not talking about individual teachers. I'm saying that our system has been ruined. And we're sending kids through a system without God. And they're taught that geology and biology and astronomy and anthropology, we're taught that stuff contradicts the Word of God. So what they're really hearing is the Bible's biology is not true. It's anthropology is not true. It's astronomy. The earthly things in the Bible are not true. So basically, the Bible is not true. That's what we're teaching our kids. And then they come to church once a week and we tell them wonderful stories about Jesus. They go back 5 days a week and they're being taught what they think is real history. And it contradicts all of our wonderful stories. And 2 Corinthians 11:3, I'll read this quick. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, "But I am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his treachery, your minds may be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Paul is warning us that Satan is going to use the same method on us that he did with Eve to get her away from God. Remember how he deceived Eve? If you go back in Genesis, in chapter 3, it says, in the beginning of chapter 3, it says, "Now the serpent was the shrewdest of all creatures the Lord God had made." Really? He asked the woman. Did God really say you must not eat of the fruit of the garden? What was he doing? He was getting Adam and Eve to doubt the Word of God. And Paul's warning to us is that Satan is going to use the exact same tactics on us. It's been his trick all through history to attempt to get people to doubt the authority of the Word of God. It was only a couple hundred years ago that this idea that the earth of prehistory, up till a couple hundred years ago, everyone believed that the Bible contained all of history. And then they invented prehistory that goes back millions and millions and billions of years. That came a couple hundred years ago. It started to get spread around and popularized a little bit. And unfortunately, since then, a lot of theologians have said, well, we can just take those millions of years and just make them fit into the Bible somewhere. We'll just reinterpret a few meanings and ignore the Bible's geology. And then along came Charlie Darwin pushing some of his ideas on biology, and they said, well, we'll just reinterpret the Bible's biology too, and we'll just fit evolution in here. And so in many people's eyes, this was a scientific justification for not believing the Word of God. This gave them an excuse. It was a handy excuse to live immoral lives. They were glad to have a science that said the Bible's not true. And then along comes the Big Bang Theory, and we reinterpreted the Bible's astronomy. For the most part, the church just said, well, what we can do, all this earthly stuff, we can just give it to the world to teach. We'll let the world teach the earthly things, and we can let the world teach the history of the universe as long as we keep the spiritual and moral things in the church. Because that's what's important. The most important things are the gospel and Christian morality. And so we've had generation after generation being taught that the world's earthly things are the real history as we teach the religious stuff and nice little Bible stories. And as time has gone by, generation after generation has just become used to the inconsistencies between the world and the church. They've just gotten used to hearing these two stories. And between what they learn in school and what they learn in the church, they understand that the two don't agree with each other. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's something progressive, but what has happened is that the generations become more consistent over time. It's a philosophical, attitudinal change in our understanding of the Word of God, that, well, we can't be inconsistent, so we choose one and we go with it. And since our education, our system of education teaches that the Bible isn't true, well, that's what a lot of them naturally cling to, 70% according to the survey. So this process, our great Christian nation that has founded by Christians and built on Christian principles, that America has basically pulled itself up by the roots, its Christian roots, and we have thrown the idea of creation out of science and out of school. We have thrown out prayer and the Ten Commandments, and the Bible has been thrown out of school so that kids can be taught a new real history. Real history. And now you go to church in our great Christian nation, you turn on Christian TV or Christian radio, and most of what you hear about are spiritual things, great moral lessons, emotional pleas to turn to Jesus. For the most part, they're not dealing with the earthly things because, well, we've given those to the world to teach. And what's the result? With all our Christian colleges and all our TV stations and radio networks and books and resources, what's the result? We're losing our culture. America is becoming less Christian. We're losing it to a culture of secularism. 70% of students that plan to leave the faith because they're just becoming consistent. They find no reason to believe in the authority of God's Word. This has already happened in England, and it's happening in our country. We're losing the culture. And for all the churches we have and all the worship and the praises of song, the songs of praise that we have on Sunday mornings and all the time people that get together on Sunday mornings, we're losing the culture. There's something fundamentally wrong with how we're teaching our nation. What happened in England is happening to America. And the church has disconnected the message of Jesus Christ from real world history. They've just split them up. Let the world teach the history and we'll teach Jesus. And now generations have become indoctrinated, and the young people are simply becoming consistent in what they believe. They're just putting two and two together. They're saying, if the earthly things are not true in the Bible, then why should I trust the rest? I want to believe something that's totally true. And it's easier to believe what the world teaches. It's easy. But we're teaching creation in church. We're talking about the real ark and a real flood. We're telling those stories, but it doesn't help much if our kids are being taught that Noah couldn't fit all the animals in the ark. If our kids are being taught there wasn't enough water to cover the earth. If our kids are being taught that fossils are millions of years old. Every time you turn on a science program, I love Discovery and stuff like that, but every time I see one of those programs, they say it, millions of years. You watch those shows and see how many times you hear the word millions of years ago. Second grade. It's indoctrination. You can't go through a book or watch a TV show without hearing millions of years ago. So we as the church haven't connected the history of the Bible, the geology, the biology, astronomy, and so on with the great morals that we teach, with the story of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope that you possess." We need to be prepared to defend our faith to the world. So how can we reconnect our faith with fact? How can we put history, geology, biology, anthropology back together with our great morals and our Jesus Christ and our wonderful Christian spirituality? How can we reconnect those? How do we teach a generation with more than just wonderful stories? How do we prepare people, young and old, to be ready to answer the questions and defend their faith? Well, you think about that. Spend a little time this week considering where we're at, how we've got here, how we've let go of history and science and the Bible, and come back next week and we'll talk about what we do from here. Let's pray. God, we are sorry that we have let go of the truth of your word to the world, that we have given up our history and our science and our just common sense knowledge that comes straight from your word. God, we are sorry that we have decreased the value of your word and let the world take over what we should be teaching. We are sorry for not taking our responsibility as Christian leaders and parents and teachers to teach your word and make sure that the world understands that your word has authority. God, help us to fix things. Help us to do what we ought to do, to be able to give an answer for the hope that we have in us. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your opportunity and your grace. Thank you for the fact that you are willing to help us when we ask. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.